Joint employer coverage also is an issue that has been addressed. So where there's an agreement between employers to share an employee's services, to interchange employees, where one employer acts directly or indirectly in the interests of the other employee in relation to the employee, or the employers are not completely disassociated with respect to the employee's employment and may be deemed to share control of the employee directly or indirectly. These kind of issues come up when you are potentially using a service, a third party, to supplement your workforce. You have to look at whether or not you have to count those employees. You probably do have to count those employees into your numbers for purposes of FMLA, particularly if you're using them on a fairly consistent basis. So once again, there are guidelines that specifically address and give multiple hypotheticals about what if this, what if that, what if this, what if that, and they give different arrangements that would or would not require that you count the employees and which employees you have to count. So obviously I would not have to count the employees of the temporary company that aren't assigned to me. So if they're assigned somewhere else, then I don't care. But the ones that are assigned to me and have been with me for a while probably are going to be counted in that 50. So an employee can take family medical leave for up to 12 weeks. It's generally unpaid. It's not required to be paid under the Family Medical Leave Act. To care for a newborn child or newly placed adopted or foster child. To care for a spouse, child, parent. And there's actually, that's actually limited. There's more than that. So if you want to look at what types of relations would cover in the family part of family medical leave, you can look at the regulations. But say, for example, someone was raised by their aunt, right? And so they, you know, their mom passed away and their aunt pretty much raised them, or their mother was in prison and their aunt raised them. Then the aunt would be covered as somebody who would be considered family. And so if the aunt gets ill and the employee wants to take time off to take care of the aunt, then that would be covered. So you can't just say, you know, if it's not mother, husband, child, father, but that, you know, it doesn't cover. You need to go back and look at each situation where somebody's raising a potential family member. And obviously, if it's because of the employee's own serious health condition. Military leave, I'm not going to go into this a great deal because it's complicated and it will take us forever and we don't have a lot of time. But the Family Medical Leave Act has, you know, its own sections that govern leave for family members of who have a service member who is ill and needs some assistance, then that family member could potentially take leave, and they're entitled to leave up to 18 weeks to provide that care. And if they have a qualifying exigency, I'm sorry, 26 weeks, not 18, 26 weeks of leave during a year. And then they also can take leave for qualifying exigencies. And that's examples of qualifying exigencies would be, for example, a short notice deployment and the employee needs to take off to help them get packed, get things ready. There are military events that they may be attending. They may need to go and meet with the school counselor to say that mom and dad's going to be going overseas and not home for 6 months, and we want to just alert you to be on the lookout if this seems to be impacting the child in their school or at work or their societal, you know, their social inactions. For non-medical counseling, for financial or legal arrangements, they want to draft a will, so you have to go and meet with a lawyer to do that. Rest and relaxation when the service member is home, post-deployment activities, so and anything else that's agreed to. But I generally say when you have somebody who is either military and they need leave or they are family members of military, it's a good idea to do everything you can to find a way to make it happen because, one, it's probably going to be required in one of the many laws that protect these individuals, and two, if it arguably is, you really, really don't want to get sued by somebody that is military related because you want to talk about being unpopular. I don't care whether you're in a liberal or a conservative environment, the jury will hate you. So just be really, really careful in denying those rights. And I would say, you know, try to do right by our service community. Okay. The benefits that you get when you qualify for FMLA is that you have to they have to maintain You have to maintain their health coverage. So whatever portion of the health care premium or other premiums that you were paying before they went on FMLA, you have to continue to pay that portion while they're out on FMLA. Now, you can require that they pay their portion. So if they're paying 20%, 50%, whatever, you can require that they do that. The time to address that is in the FMLA paperwork. You can say in there that they're going to be required to do that, and then you can give them separate paperwork that outlines that, of how that's going to be structured, letting them know when those payments would be due, et cetera. Okay, reinstatement. This is the biggie. Obviously, when you have somebody who takes FMLA, you're generally going to be required to reinstate them to their former position when they come back from FMLA. And it has to be that same job or an equivalent position without the loss of benefits that had accrued prior to the start of the FMLA leave. Now, same or equivalent position. Equivalent position by the courts, it pretty much has to be identical. Not just, you know, they're pretty strict on what they consider to be an equivalent position. So you can't say, it's kind of like it. It's not going to work. It needs to be very, very similar in nature, in terms of its status, in terms of its skill set, in terms of its opportunities for upward mobility, in terms of the training that it offers, in terms of the pay plan or bonus system that it offers, all of that. And if it's not, then you're going to be tagged. And frankly, if it's just one they don't like, you're probably going to get sued over not reinstating them. Now, they're not in any better position, though, than anybody else. So if you have a reduction in force while somebody's out on FMLA and you eliminate a department and they are part of that department, you can go ahead and lay them off.